Next case for argument, United States v. Wade. Ms. Jackson.
May it please the court. In this case, the district court did not consider and respond to a principal argument by Mr. Wade that he should not be sentenced as a career offender because he would not have qualified for career offender treatment but for the inclusion of convictions he sustained 25 years ago when he was 18 years old. I have 3 points to emphasize. One, there was procedural error based on the judge's silence about this argument. Two, there was procedural error even though the judge stated that the sentencing guidelines are advisory, and even though the judge gave other reasons for his sentence. And three, the error was not harmless. We have no firm assurance that the district court would have given Mr. Wade the same sentence had it considered the argument about his age at the time of those qualifying convictions or his argument about the remoteness of those qualifying convictions. So given these three truths, Mr. Wade's case should be remanded for full resentencing. So I'll return to point one. It's well settled in this circuit now that with non-frivolous principal arguments, the judge must respond. There must be discussion or explanation. Absent those, this court will not assume that the district court considered a primary principal non-frivolous argument. And I'll insert here that the government does not appear to contest that Mr. Wade's argument was principal and non-frivolous. So there are lots of things that won't do in this circumstance. Silence won't do, conclusory remarks, cryptic remarks and responses, cursory discussion. According to the law of this circuit, none of that will do. This court will not implicitly assume that a district court has implicitly considered an argument. So the record has to show that Judge Norgal gave meaningful consideration to a principal non-routine argument. And nothing in this record shows that Judge Norgal considered, much less meaningfully considered, the principal argument that Mr. Wade was raving about his age at the time of those convictions and the remoteness of those convictions. There are only 4 references to the career offender guideline when the court started imposing sentence. They were just that the career offender guideline was appropriate, it was fair and reasonable, it will deter other people from committing similar crimes. There was nothing about the remoteness or the youthfulness of those qualifying convictions. The judge never mentioned Mr. Wade's argument at all. Returning to my second point, there's error notwithstanding the other statements that the court made. Judge Norgal did say the guidelines are not mandatory, and he did give other reasons for the sentence, namely deterrence, the violent nature of Mr. Wade's priors, concerns about the victims, Mr. Wade and personal responsibility, but neither of those, mentioning the guidelines or advisory or mentioning other reasons for the sentence, saves the error here. This court has said in previous cases, even where the judge says something about the guidelines not being mandatory, a cursory acknowledgement like that is not does not save.
Of the 25 years between those older convictions and this present conviction, how many of those years was Mr. Wade out of prison?
He was out of prison between 1997 and 2001, so that's 4 years there, and then he was out of prison after 2007. So at the time we were in front of Judge Norgal, which was 2013, that was an additional 6 years.
So 10 of the 25 he was out of prison?
That's correct. And those years in prison are basically 2 large prison stints. The latter one was a 6-year prison sentence that he served for the home invasion 2001. That first period from 1989 until 1997 was essentially for conduct that Mr. Wade committed when he was 18 between November of 1998 and February of 1989. So it was a 4-month stint of bad activity when
pretty violent activity.
What makes you think he's getting more peaceful?
Mr. Wade's behavior once he was released from prison in 2007, and then particularly in 2009. So in 2009, Mr. Wade turned his life around. He got married, he started working as a subcontractor, he was actively raising his three children, actively participating at a church, continuing to volunteer in the community.
He was in the heroin trade.
Yes, that was his one downfall.
What do you mean it's one? It becomes his career, culminating a long lifetime, a long period of criminality. You're saying he's becoming less violent because now he's just a heroin dealer? Is that the idea?
Well, he certainly had no new arrests.
Why do you call that turning your life around when you get married and become a heroin dealer?
He became a heroin addict at age 30, so well before then. But by 2009...
There's a difference between being an addict and being a dealer.
That is true. And if you are discussing Mr. Wade and his drug addiction, that is something we raise in front of the court and Judge Norbert discussed.
I'm not talking about his drug addiction. I'm talking about his being a heroin dealer.
Judge Norbert discussed these things, but he did not discuss Mr. Wade's principal argument that his career offender status was based on, would not have been, career offender would not have been applicable but for those convictions 25 years ago.
It seems pretty obvious to me. A career's got to start somewhere. His started at 18. He does a long piece in prison, comes out, does another home invasion, goes back in, does a shorter period, and then turns to heroin distribution. That's a career.
Our position is that it's not obvious what Judge Norgel thought about that because he never responded to that argument. He did discuss that selling drugs was bad. He did discuss that a drug addiction is bad.
Invading homes with firearms, that's bad.
He did discuss
robbing
that.
People,
but he never,
bad.
But he never discussed how old Mr. Wade was when he had that first initial string of activity and how long ago that activity was. And that was a principal argument that Wade...
So it was at age 18, he certainly refreshed that pattern in 2005 with the home invasion. It doesn't show a turn in another direction.
The distinction we were able to make is that 1988 activity, Mr. Wade was in a gang. He was a teenager in a gang. In 2001, when he committed the home invasion, that was of an entirely different sort. He was not in a gang. By then, he had become addicted to heroin. He wasn't addicted to heroin back in 88.
He went in to rob a house, or at least burglar it, to fuel his heroin addiction.
That is exactly what happened, and we made that point to the court.
How does that make him less of a career offender?
It doesn't make him less of a career offender. We definitely conceded that he technically qualified for a career offender treatment. We were asking the court to use its discretion not to apply career offender guideline based on the remoteness of essentially half of those qualifying convictions, an argument that has been made to district courts before. It's not a stock argument. It's not a frivolous.
It seems pretty stock to me. A career has to start somewhere. He started at 18.
Judge Norgel.
He continues it to age 43.
Judge Norgel never said that. So if the court were to conclude that that's what Judge Norgel was thinking, there's nothing in the record to show that. And that would be an inferential step that the law of the circuit bars. This circuit has said that we will not implicitly assume, we will not, based on a cursory remark, conclude that the district court considered the argument. We will not conclude where the court gave other or independent reasons that the court considered an argument. There are numerous cases saying the district court's intimation, I'm quoting now from Ramirez-Mendoza in 2012, the district court's intimation without confronting head-on is simply not enough for non-frivolous arguments. Alluding to but not explaining the court's view is also not sufficient. That's under Miranda in 2007. We will not infer a reasoned exercise of discretion from a record that suggests otherwise or is silent. That's from Cunningham in 2005, and it goes on and on. So Judge Norgal certainly said an awful lot about Mr. Wade's record, violence, seriousness, victims, but he did not respond to our principal argument about Mr. Wade being 18 when he sustained those career offender qualifying convictions and about them happening 25 years ago. I see that my time is up, and I had reserved time for a rebuttal.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Jackson. Ms. Jenkins?
Thank you. Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. The district court addressed the defendant's principal argument at sentencing concerning application of the career offender guideline, even though defendant raised a few sub-arguments as to why the district court should exercise its discretion to sentence below the applicable advisory guideline range. Primarily, those career offender arguments were related to the age of the oldest convictions from his teenage years or early adulthood years, as well as the ongoing nature of his untreated condition, heroin condition. At page 45 and 46 of the sentencing transcript, the judge addressed, albeit not in the same words that defense counsel used in her presentation, the judge addressed the defendant's oldest encounters with the criminal justice system and essentially stated that the defendant's oldest encounters with the criminal justice system to be more of an aggravating circumstance than a mitigating one. Specifically, the district court stated, quote, he has never gotten the message along the way. I am not the first judge to advise Mr. Wade that he must deal with the underlying problems that he has regarding controlled substances. A few sentences later, the district court stated, if you look at the number of times that the defendant has been sentenced by other judges, it certainly occurs to me that this is not the first time it's been brought to the defendant's attention that he must take or he needs to take the necessary steps to stop using controlled substances. Certainly, this is not the district court stating back in identical words as those used by defense counsel at the sentencing hearing, but this is the district court's way of conveying that the defendant has had multiple encounters with the criminal justice system. He makes specific reference to the number of times and not being the first judge to have advised the defendant that he needs to get his life together, to stop committing crimes, to stop using heroin, to make the other necessary adjustments to get his life on track. And in the end, the district court viewed this as much more aggravating rather than mitigating in the way that it was presented by defense counsel at the hearing. And while defense counsel is certainly correct that the matter cannot be passed over in silence, a short explanation will suffice. And because the sentence imposed was within the applicable and correctly calculated guideline range, less explanation was necessary. In the end, the district court concluded at page 46 of the transcript by simply stating that its overall conclusion, as I've said, it is a fair and reasonable sentence to apply the career offender enhancement, which resulted in an advisory guideline range of 151 to 188 months, and therefore the district court imposed sentence at the low end of that range. Unless there are any questions, the government would rest on its brief and ask that the sentence be affirmed.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Jenkins. So, Ms. Jackson, do you have anything further?
The context is important when looking at the portions of the transcript that Ms. Jenkins referenced early in her presentation. When Judge Norgal was talking to Mr. Wade, he's never gotten the message along the way. He's not the first judge who has told him he must deal with controlled substances. The context was Judge Norgal discussing Mr. Wade's drug addiction. Nothing in that discussion there was Judge Norgal addressing Mr. Wade's age at the time of his qualifying offenses or how long ago they were. And in fact, that whole discussion contains a huge factual error, which further suggests that, as this court has said, there may have been a problem with the judge not listening to the defendant's principal mitigation arguments. Mr. Wade's drug addiction did not happen until 2000. So there's only one conviction where his drug issue was in play. So all the other convictions Judge Norgal's referring to, there would have been no discussion by a judge or Mr. Wade about a drug addiction. Second, even if the judge did address the number of times that Mr. Wade had appeared before a judge, even if you do infer from this that this is a discussion about the remoteness of Mr. Wade's prior convictions, it's certainly not a discussion about the fact that Mr. Wade was a teenager when he got those initial convictions that then qualify him for career offender treatment. There's nothing in the record where Judge Norgal addresses that argument. So Mr. Wade is certainly not entitled to have the district court agree with his argument that career offender should not apply because of the remoteness of his qualifying convictions and because of his age, but a reasonable response was warranted under these circumstances, under the law of the circuit, and so we do ask for a full remand for resentencing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Jackson. And were you appointed?
I'm from the federal defender.
For the federal defender? Okay, well, we thank you and the defenders for your efforts on behalf of the client. We thank Ms. Jenkins as well.